Here we go. We are being recorded as of now. All right, welcome to the last study of Joseph's life. Here we are going to do the review questions from last week. And there's no one new here to pick on today. So the first review question says, where did Jacob meet and become reunited with Joseph? So we got father, son meeting dad for the first time. Where was that meeting at in Egypt? Do you remember?
I remember that it was Egypt, but you already said that.
Pharaoh's palace.
Yeah,
when they went up to Goshen or something?
There it is, yeah, Goshen. It's the region of Goshen, because that's where the Pharaoh said they could come and live there, settle in that place. It sounds like it was a pretty good place to live, even in Egypt. I have no idea where Goshen is at today. If you have in your Bible a map or something that's got Goshen in Egypt, I would be very interested to see where that's at. Number two, what does God say to Jacob to reassure him when he goes to Egypt? What does God say to Jacob?
Go. He'll see Joseph before he dies.
Well, that's part of it. It's at the very end.
He told him not to fear, that he would make of him a great nation.
Yeah, and the Lord says, I will go with you. I will be with you. There's a lot of I wills that God promises to Jacob in what he says to him as he goes. But he has to go to Egypt to find out if it's true or not. Hey, Nancy.
Can I come up here?
You can.
Here's your...
I'll slide over a bit. Okay. We're just on the
review.
The review questions there. Number three, when was the last time that Jacob had seen Joseph? Oops. About how old was Joseph when he last saw him?
17.
Around 17. Around 17 years old. Now he's about how old? Be in his 30s. So he's probably seen him 17 years older than where he was when he last saw him. I mean, he's in his 30s, if not close to 40 at this time.
I do have a map of it.
You do? Goshen?
Mm-hmm.
I gotta see that.
Yeah, this is what it shows.
Close to the Suez Canal. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
You know, didn't you ever hear, like, land of Goshen?
Goshen.
Wasn't that sort of a saying? I never had any idea. And I thought, land of Goshen.
Is that an old movie or something?
I think so.
Land of Goshen.
Maybe the hillbillies.
I always say, the promised land.
Oh, yeah. Here it is. I saw it too in mine.
Okay,
I didn't know. But.
Yeah. Okay, good. All right, God gave Jacob a new name. What was it?
Israel.
Correct. And the last one, what occupation did the Egyptians despise and find detestable?
Shepherds.
Stinky
shepherds.
Smelly shepherds. So... All right, we don't have really anything. Well, we could probably read a little bit here. Let me see. What do we want to read? Why don't we read Genesis 47? Let's just start with verse 1, and then we'll probably go to the end of the chapter. We'll see. So, Nancy, we'll start with you. We'll go around this direction.
Okay. The
you're going to read.
You passed. Pass is fine. Means the next person, read as much as you want.
Okay, Joseph went and told Pharaoh, "My father and brothers, with their flocks and herds, and everything they own, have come from the land of Canaan and are now in Goshen." He chose five of his brothers and presented them before Pharaoh. Pharaoh asked the brothers, "What is your occupation?" "Your servants are shepherds," they replied to Pharaoh. "Just as our fathers were." They also said to him, "We have come to live here for a while because the famine is severe in Canaan, and your servants' flocks have no pasture. So now, please, let your servants settle in Goshen."
You're passing? Pharaoh said to Joseph, "Your father and your brothers have come to you, and the land of Egypt is before you. Settle your father and your brothers in the best part of the land. Let them live in Goshen. And if you know of any among them with special ability, put them in charge of my own livestock." Then Joseph brought his father Jacob in and presented him before Pharaoh. After Jacob blessed Pharaoh, Pharaoh asked him, "How old are you?"
You never ask that question to anybody, do you?
No.
How old are you? All
right. So Jacob said to Pharaoh, "The years of my sojourning are 130. Few and unpleasant have been the years of my life, nor have they attained the years that my fathers lived during the days of their sojourn." And Jacob blessed Pharaoh and went out from his presence. So Joseph settled his father and his brothers and gave them a possession of the land of Egypt and the best of the land and the land of Ramses, as Pharaoh had ordered.
Just verse 12.
Joseph also provided his father and his brothers with all of his father's household with food according to the number of their children.
Okay. You know, was that just a little bit of food, or was it a lot of food?
The whole clan.
It's a lot of food.
What did we say the number was seven?
Had to be enough for 70 people.
Yeah. Did they bring any servants with them, though, too? You know, they usually had.
Doesn't sound like it. Sound like he was supposed to go back to bring back the brothers' wives and their kids and Jacob, his dad. There's like 70 of them all together. Of course, there was 66. Then Joseph had a wife and had two sons. And so that's four more, so it'd be 70 altogether in the land of Goshen. So, I mean, that's kind of how they got to Egypt, and we go about 400 years after this is when Moses comes onto the scene then to deliver the people out of Egypt. So you got a turnover of pharaohs that lose sight of what this pharaoh knew about Joseph and his family. So the new pharaohs go, there's too many of these Israelites in our land, and they probably will become our enemies someday, so let's just make sure they become our servants and slaves. And so that's when Yul Brynner comes onto the scene.
Yeah, I wonder.
And then Charlton Heston comes in as Moses. So let's go to number one here. What were the names of Joseph's two girls?
Joseph.
You just said he had two sons.
It's a trick question. No. You caught it.
Say, we didn't read about it. I'm looking it up.
He only had two sons. There was no girl. So yeah. What are the names of his two sons? This is the only trick question there is.
Ephraim and Manasseh.
Yeah. Manasseh and Ephraim is the name of his boys. All right. Remember, there's no more trick questions. So we're all good here. How many years of famine remained when Joseph's family came to Egypt?
I'm guessing five.
Yep, five. There's five more years of famine when they came. And we saw that, I mean, the famine was pretty fierce, wasn't it? I mean, they said there was no pasture for their sheep and livestock that kind of came with them in Canaan, and so they were happy to be settled in Goshen. There must have been a lot, there must be something there for them to eat. So three, how severe was the famine? The people and nations ran out of blank. No, not only that, that's already been gone, but now, what was the next thing they ran out of?
Money.
So now they could not buy any of the grain. So they ran out of money.
I still don't think it's quite fair.
What's not fair?
Well, the Pharaoh took one-fifth of their, their grain for 5 years, and he sold it back to them.
Now remember, who's in charge here?
Joseph.
Joseph, this is how, you know, the Pharaoh kind of said, Joseph, you take care of this. Because the people rose up of saying, hey, we are still hungry, we've had grain, and we have no more money. So what's the next step that Pharaoh chooses to do? And I think that's where we get into number four. So what was Joseph's solution after the people said, we have no more money to buy grain, to buy food?
Take their land.
Take their land.
Then he got like a barter system. He traded their livestock. The people who had livestock traded the livestock for food. So now they're going to personal possessions. They're out of money, so now it's personal possessions which comes with their livestock. If they get livestock, you can get food if you give that to Joseph and to the state of Egypt. Put it that way.
Wow.
But you know, that continues on down the road.
Sounds like
setting up for slavery almost. Yeah.
It does. You know, so then...
they don't have land.
So as time goes on, number five, times got so tough during the famine that the people wanted to become Pharaoh's
slaves.
They go like, well, we have nothing. We have no money. Now we have no livestock. We have nothing to get food. So we will just give ourselves to however Pharaoh will use us, as long as he gives us food.
That's
that's the direction of how this goes. And then number six, the people asked Joseph to give them blank so that they may not starve to death. What more could be done? Joseph then gives them what?
Read here.
Seed.
Yeah.
Gives them seed
so
to plant.
The ground. Yeah. 23.
So, I mean, now they definitely are slaves of Pharaoh. And through Joseph, through Pharaoh, they're given seed that they must then go out and plant for themselves. We don't know what kind of seed it is. But that's the only way that would prevent them from starving to death. So it's got to be something that they could produce. So notice that they did not get rhubarb. Okay. But it's seed to live on.
So Joseph and his entire clan were kind of above this.
Yeah. Because they were provided for.
Yeah.
Everyone was provided for by Egypt. Sounds a lot like today, doesn't it?
The upper class will survive.
You know? So that's kind of how the famine affects everyone in the land of Egypt. How old was Jacob when he died in Egypt?
147.
He was 147 years old.
Well, how did you know that?
It's in the Bible.
I never read any of these.
No.
Parts of these.
No.
Parts.
We read, but I didn't hear any numbers.
28, verse 28.
How long did Jacob live in Egypt? We find that in Genesis 47, 28.
17 years.
So he lived there for 17 years. So when he came to Egypt, how old was he?
130.
Yeah. So Jacob's last request to his son Joseph was what?
To be buried in his own land.
Yeah. Well, yeah, just... Okay. It's like, he knows he's going to die in Egypt, but he goes, take my bones. Yeah. Whenever you go or got a chance to go back to Canaan, to the promised land, take my bones back. And I believe that that is kind of mentioned. Is that... Is it mentioned in the Ten Commandments, the movie? Don't forget the bones?
I haven't seen that movie.
Okay.
For a long time.
So it was important for Jacob to have his bones taken back to Canaan. But he also wanted to be buried where?
Next to
Rachel, right? And Rachel was buried where?
In Canaan, I suppose.
Yeah, 48:7. What does it say in Genesis 48:7?
Close to Ephrath or something.
She died in the land of Canaan on the way.
Beside the road in Ephrath. To Ephrath.
Close to Bethlehem.
Yeah, so
Bethlehem.
Remember wow. Ephrath is another name for Bethlehem. Because we find that in the Minor Prophets, on where is the Christ going to be born? And he'll be born in Ephrah, which is modern day would be Bethlehem. It's another name for Bethlehem. The city of David is what it's called as well. So when Jacob died, what did Joseph's brothers think? Chapter 50, verse 15.
Turn some pages.
Now, Dad dies. What are they thinking about Joseph?
Oh, they're in trouble. Yeah. Again.
It comes back.
Yeah.
Now
all of a sudden,
guilty conscience, doesn't it?
That's right.
They're thinking, okay, well, now Dad's dying, is dead, and he's gone. Now Joseph is going to really get them after what they've done to him years ago. So, his brothers start thinking, how?
They need to ask forgiveness.
Well, it's kind of like they've gone through that already, haven't they? But they start thinking the worst of him again.
Well, I don't know. They say that his father said that he should forgive them.
Oh, well, yeah.
So they approach Joseph saying, your father gave us instruction before you die. Say to Joseph, I beg you, forgive the crime of your brothers.
Yeah.
So they threw that.
Did Jacob actually say that? Or is this something the brothers have made up?
I don't know what this one says.
Yeah. Just start lying.
Knowing their brothers, I think they just made it up. Just to kind of protect themselves and their families.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's in verse 15.
So they're really thinking that Joseph now is going to get even with them, even after Jacob dies.
This is the crux of the...
So it's kind of like, you know, I mean, Joseph would just have to say, hey, guys, like, what? Didn't I forgive you before? I haven't changed my mind about forgiving you for what you've done. Because Joseph saw that God sent him ahead so that they would live, his family would live, and survive the famine. I mean, he sees this in the past tense, like, hey, God's been a part of his life in Egypt the entire time. And he even told that to his brothers when they did come to him, and he revealed himself, saying, hey, he sees that God's brought him here to bring their families down to Egypt where they're going to survive. They're going to do okay. They're going to be fine. But the brothers still have that thinking the worst that Joseph's going to get even with them somehow.
Fear.
Yep, fear.
Well, what they did was pretty terrible.
Yeah. So then, number 12, what was Pharaoh's orders to Joseph? Interesting. This one's a very interesting one, I think.
47:6, huh? In the best land.
I think you kind of caught on to this as we were reading it. Nancy? 47:6.
Let them live in Goshen.
Best of the land.
Be in charge of the livestock.
You know, it's like Pharaoh doesn't really know how to take care of livestock. But he finds out that his brothers know how to take care of livestock. And so he picks five of his brothers that were probably very good at handling livestock. And so Pharaoh goes, well, have your brothers take care of my livestock. Of course, he got a lot of livestock because people had to give their livestock up to get food along the way. So now you find where Pharaoh utilizes the gifts and the talents of Joseph's family in a way that helps
himself
too. Yeah, I just found it really interesting because the Egyptians really did not like shepherds. And so here they had cattle, livestock, horses, donkeys, and yet Joseph's brothers knew something about that whole thing too. And he put them in charge of what he had.
So he was a good manager of his.
Must have been.
Yeah.
Good manager. 13. How did Jacob view his life? 47:9.
Few and hard have been the years of my life.
Oh, mercy.
Few.
Yeah.
Wow.
And 130.
Yeah, but he kind of looks at his life as a journey. You know? Where he's been, what's happened throughout his lifetime to his old age. It's a journey. You know, don't we look at our lives kind of as a... I mean, we're pilgrims. Isn't that John Wayne's thing? A pilgrim. We're just passing through.
Right.
But here, it's a journey that we are all in. In life.
My Bible says here too, though, you know, he didn't live as long as Abraham or Moses. So maybe in his eyes he thought.
Yeah. How old was Moses was 140, wasn't he?
Isaac. It says okay. Abraham lived to 175 and Isaac 180.
Okay, 180? Okay, that could be, yeah. We find that time shortens as it goes on through the history there. But still, I mean, 147?
I can imagine adding 100 years to my life.
No.
But my mom made 100.
Did she?
Yeah,
she did.
I mean, it was a rare thing to be a centurion, you know, to make it to 100. But nowadays, it seems to be more possible.
I just had supper with my dad. He's 99 and a half. He'll be 100 in December, and he walks, and you know, he takes no medicine, doesn't hurt me, he's fine, and it's something to marvel at.
It's something, though. My mom, when she turned 100, then she was done.
Really?
She'd seen the Cubs win the series.
Yeah.
You know, she'd done what she liked to do, and she was ready to go.
Huh. You know, now in the insurance world, it used to be, you know, nobody makes it to really 100, very few. But now there's a commercial on TV where this gal is panicking because she's going to run out of money by the time she's 100.
Oh.
Her retirement.
Money has to stretch a long time.
Her retirement, she goes, I'm going to run out of money. I'm going to live longer than 100. And so even in the insurance world now, I mean, we've been even told that by our insurance guys.
How long
saying
your
like,
money has to
be. You know, you got to be thinking longer than 100. And I'm going like, you got to be kidding. But they're thinking people are going to start living beyond 100 years. More and more of them are going to be, and therefore you have to be thinking that way. And so they want you to take out a plan that goes beyond 100.
my mother-in-law was in a nursing, not a nursing home, assisted living, and she had enough money to last until she was 101. She was 98. And she was worried about running
out.
And I, you know, I had to bite my tongue saying, 101, you know, you probably won't make it that long. You can't say that.
That was another thing with my mom. She thought she was real close to out of money. You know, when she turned 100. But after she died, we found this little $10,000 life insurance policy that I'm sure she didn't know she had.
Oh, wow. She could have lived
the insurance company wrote to us. Evidently, they get it through Social Security numbers or something.
Yeah.
And I said, if she'd have known that, she'd have probably lived
more money. Spend it all.
It reminds me of I have a cousin, first cousin, would be my mom's oldest sister. And when she finally passed away, she was in her 90s, they went cleaning out the house and they went through all of her cards and they found $3,000 in the cards. Because he had sent her always like a $100 bill at Mother's Day and her birthday and what have you. And he said she never spent that. She kept it all. It was like $3,000, and so they just split up between his sister and his other brother. So they each got $1,000. But I'm really like,
my dad did that. Only it was, we would give him gift cards. And when he passed away, he had a whole wallet full of gift cards, and he never used.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
So I mean, like, this guy goes like, believe my mother to do something like that.
Yeah.
I gave it to her so she could enjoy life. And what did she do? She just kept it in the car. Never did use it.
I heard Steve's grandma, when she died, or she went to the nursing home and they had to clean out her apartment, she kept saying, did you find the money? Did you find the money? You don't really know. Well, finally they had they took apart all the the pictures and frames. There was money.
Oh, shoot.
Or she put the money behind them.
Sure.
I mean, seriously. Like I said, you should have probably checked the mat, you know, split the mattress. Who knows?
Yeah, right.
You don't know when they do things like that. She didn't know because she had dementia, but she knew she had money in the house. And they, like, well, that's eventually where they found
money. Well, years ago, the people did not believe in banks.
And so,
when I was just a little kid and there would be a estate sale at some place in town, whenever there was chest or drawers, there was always newspapers on the bottom drawer. Mm-hmm. And somebody said, look between the newspaper and there's a possibility that's where they stored some money. And there's places where that did happen. You know?
I bought a dresser with money under the papers, too. Not a lot, but I mean, I was kind of excited. Like, whoa, there's money. So
Or between the dust catcher under the drawer.
Oh, gosh.
You know, not in the drawer, but
underneath.
I suppose they had to get real clever because people knew they probably had.
But I knew they put it in the drawers, so. The same with a freezer, cold cash.
Yeah.
I can't top any of those stories. My father-in-law, my stepfather, was in his 80s and 90s. He was still doing farmer's market. But all the cash he collected went in the trunk of my mom's car. So my stepdad dies, and the car's ready to go to the junkyard. Here, my stepbrothers were cleaning. They checked the car, and they found between $2,000 and $3,000 in the trunk.
Oh, my goodness. This is so silly.
Wow.
So they weren't really even doing the farmer's market because they needed the money. You know, a lot of it just done.
A rainy day fund.
Yeah, or whatever.
The rainy day fund.
Just sort of a funny thought.
Number 14 on the sheet says, how old was Joseph when he died in Egypt?
110.
Now notice, he was not as old as his dad.
Yeah.
But he lived to be a ripe age of 110 when he died. So it takes us to the last question, which has nothing to do with the Bible. has God worked in your life over the years? Where do you first see God at work in your life?